It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. If you are caring for an older loved one, you know firsthand that it can be very challenging at times. And there are so many things that you need to do and think about on a daily basis. But one thing that may not have been on your radar is that person's oral health. Today, we're going to discuss that and how you can help this older person with their oral health and why that's so critical. My guests are Jen Crittenden. She is a PhD, a Master's of Social Work. She's a Maine Center on Aging, and we'll discuss how they are connected with Linda Dineen. Denise O'Connell, you've heard her before. She's a licensed clinical social worker and the associate director of Linda Dineen. And very excited to have Dr. Leonard Brennan, who is a dentist, is a respected mentor and leader in geriatric dentistry, a faculty member of Harvard School of Dental Medicine, previously served as the geriatric advisor to the American Dental Association, and has also served as the co-director of Harvard School of Dental Medicine's geriatric fellowship program. For 10 years, he has been a member of the Linda Dineen Motivate program that you will hear a lot about today, the statewide advisory committee. Thank you all so much for being here. Jen, I'm going to start with you about the Center on Aging and their collaboration with Linda Dineen. And then Denise, tell me briefly what Linda Dineen is.
Right. So I'm Jennifer Crittenden. I am with the University of Maine Center on Aging. I'm the Associate Director for Research there. We've been a longtime partner with the Linda Dineen Health Education Alliance of Maine. And we're a partner with Linda Dineen because we feel that education should be done right. And to do it right, it means integrating research. It means talking to the people that we ultimately educate and getting their points of view. And so often we are working with Linda Dineen to reach out to folks like, you know, whether that's nursing home staff when we're training nursing home staff. And in this case, it's actual caregivers out in the community to understand what it is that they want to learn. And so we partner to gather that information and to help Linda Dineen to formulate education that can be brought back out into the community and to be the most effective education that we can develop.
Denise, so just give me an overview. Thank you, Jen, of Linda Dineen and specifically the Motivate program. And there are two parts to this. There's an alcohol component too that we're not discussing today, but the Motivate program is terrific for people. So tell me about that.
Thanks, Carol. So Linda Dineen Health Education Alliance of Maine is a program of Massachusetts General Hospital, as well as the Peter L. Slavin Academy for Applied Learning in Healthcare. And we were made possible over 10 years ago through the vision and generosity of the hospital, as well as Peter and Paula Lunder and the Lunder Family Foundation. And together, they had a vision of improving health by providing ongoing professional education and education for lay people about how they can make different decisions that affect their health. And in doing so, we uncovered three public health problems where we saw an opportunity to make a difference by offering education. And we also uncovered, as Jen mentioned, through pre-program evaluation reports and assessments that there was a gap there. And by providing education, people might be able to improve. One, which is for primary care on alcohol use, as well as nursing leadership. And then the third and fourth are all about oral health. The first program we developed about oral health is called Motivate, Maine's Oral Team-Based Initiative, Vital Access to Education. And that's been implemented over 10 years in nursing homes all across the state. And that trains the entire team for free on how to provide oral hygiene routinely and using evidence-based practice to improve the oral health of the residents there. But we also uncovered that while those were the most vulnerable older adults in the state and the most at risk should oral health be overlooked, that most older adults live at home. And so we wanted to reach even more people and develop the newest program, Motivate at Home, which is free oral health education for care partners and caregivers of older adults who reside at home. And it really helps them provide the best possible care to their older person or how to support the delivery of that care.
Thank you. Dr. Brennan, why is this so important for especially someone in a nursing home to have proper oral health care?
The health care of individuals in long-term care or assisted living or individuals at home is because the buildup of bacteria in their mouths typically is extensive and causes disease. And so both individuals, sometimes they're in a captive situation where in long-term care, they may not be able to brush their own teeth. So you have this buildup that's occurring without any control. At home, it can be very similar. So it's important to train the caregivers. And so the program that went from long-term care gave lots of information on what we should be doing at home. But it's what prevents disease. It's also important to realize that we're at a point in the state that we can't afford to treat. So our goal for older adults is prevention and management.
If somebody has a caregiver or they are in long-term care, they're clearly already probably somewhat compromised either through advanced aging or they have an illness. So making sure their oral health is good, does that just prevent even other problems that could crop up that they would get by not having good oral health? And is this why we should really pay close attention to this? Dr. Brennan?
Yes, because when we look at oral health, especially in a long-term care situation, one of the things that older adults tend not to do is to complain when they're in pain. So many times they will live in a situation like that. But bad teeth and bad gums prevent swallowing, chewing, and social being involved in social situations. So if you picture it for yourself, if you had really bad breath, black teeth, gums that were bleeding, would you want your grandchild to give you a kiss? So what happens is they isolate themselves either in their rooms or they don't go to the dining room. So the social aspect is really, really important. So it's important that if they can't provide the care themselves, that you have the caregivers know the very basics of oral hygiene to allow someone to live with some dignity, respect, and without pain.
Jen, the caregiver focus is something that's really important in this program. How did you find the caregivers? I know you did a survey. Tell me about the survey.
Yeah, so to really learn more about what caregivers need in terms of education, we undertook a statewide survey process. So, of course, being a researcher, we first looked at the prior research to understand the types of questions that we wanted to ask. But we also formed an advisory group of caregivers, folks who themselves were caring for older Mainers, who gave us feedback on the survey, you know, the survey that we constructed, the questions that we should ask. And then we partnered with area agencies on aging, the Maine Council on Aging. We talked to the Community Health Worker Network in the state. There are two older adult research registries at the University of Maine Center on Aging, also at the University of New England that we worked with, and also the Alzheimer's Association. So we had partners throughout the state that helped us get the survey out. And then ultimately, we heard from 135 caregivers throughout Maine.
And that was how you found out exactly what they needed and you based this program on.
Exactly.
When what I'm hearing is, especially from you, Dr. Brennan, that tooth loss is not an automatic symptom of aging. People don't need to lose their teeth. And I'm hearing some people say, well, I'm already 75, I'm already 80. What's the point? But there is a point because you can start where you are, providing that you can find care. So I want to get into that too. Is that accurate? If someone's saying, I've already got all of these issues, how do I even begin to address that?
Yeah, that's true. But people have that perception. Part of the perception of the teeth is it's how we perceive ourselves as we age. So we get that message that as we get older, are we worth the care? Is it worth the cost of care? I have never met a patient over the course of 45 years that didn't love to chew, love to smile, and love to be comfortable and not have pain. I've never. So is it worth it? Absolutely. So, and you know, we talk about this program where, especially where I'm dealing with the disease portion, But the part that we want to leave people with is that there is a way out. There is a mechanism to health. It's from simple things like brushing and flossing. If you can't do it yourself, then have a partner. Have somebody in long-term care help you. Have a family member at home. So can you live comfortably? Absolutely.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk more about caregiving and oral health care. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Jen, as you did this survey, what were some of the key findings that you found? Were there any surprises to you and the other researchers?
Yeah, so we knew going into this work that caregiving is increasingly common, right? So as many as 1 in 6 Americans are caring for somebody 50 or older. So we knew that going into the work, but what we found is, and probably not surprising to many folks out there, is that there is a great diversity among caregivers. So there are folks who are living with their loved ones, providing hands-on care. There are also caregivers who are not living with their loved ones, trying to help manage care from a distance. And so as we were building education, we had to really take into account a wide variety of folks and the types of care that they may be providing. So needing to educate people who were providing that hands-on care, and then also for the caregivers who are just trying to arrange those dental appointments or get folks to those appointments. And so really need to anticipate the different types of care. So as we looked at the findings, we saw that the majority of caregivers were living, had care recipients who were living in their own homes. And roughly a quarter lived with their care partner. So most of them are not living in the home with them, but are still providing some kind of care. So whether they're dropping in or spending some significant time in that home. So that also kind of creates that dynamic of how do we figure out how to educate people who may not be in that home 24/7, but still needing to sort of coordinate that oral health care. Yeah. So,
So the information that you did glean from this, how does that parlay into actual benefit and work for the caregivers? How do you make that concrete for them?
Yeah, so it means, one, we actually have to have curriculum that talks about that hands-on step-by-step care. It also means that we need to talk about things like accessing care. So how do you find a dentist? How do you have conversations with the dentist? And also not just the dentist, but part of this education, part of the goal of this education is to connect oral health with overall total health. So a unique piece of the motivated home model is how to have conversations with healthcare providers about your loved one's oral health. Because what we heard from care partners or what we, you know, caregivers, so you'll hear us use those terms interchangeably. What we heard from them also is that they're comfortable having conversations with healthcare providers, because often if they can't get their loved one to a dentist, they usually are able to get them to a healthcare provider for those other healthcare checkups. So there's an opportunity there to have a conversation about things like dry mouth, or if they're seeing something in the mouth, but they need to be prompting those conversations. And I think that's where Motivated Home can offer a resource to say, if you're at the doctor with your loved one, it's a great time to talk about things like medication that might be causing that dry mouth. And we don't often think about the doctor's office being a place where we have those oral health conversations.
Well, and as people may have mouth pain or problems chewing or swallowing, the caregiver may not know that and they think they're just not eating. And if they can't verbalize, I have a toothache, or they're afraid to say I have a toothache because dentists, not as much today. I think the advances have been extraordinary, but back in the day, going to the dentist was very scary. And sorry, Dr. Brendan, but you're not the most beloved clinicians in the world. And even though it's very different now, but if someone is 60 and they had a traumatic experience when they were 10, they're not as likely to want to get into that office if they can even find a dentist. I have a friend whose mother is in her 90s and has not been to the dentist in decades. Not slowing her down any, but it's very scary. So how do you make people understand that it's not just about the teeth? It's not about having a nice smile. It's about, you really have to do this for systemic reasons. If you are diabetic, you're inviting a lot of problems. If you have heart disease, and even if you don't, you could, because of the quadrillions of bacteria that live in that mouth. Anyone can take this.
Just what I would say initially, I wouldn't connect with a lot of older adults that are, say, 80 or 90, connecting it to systemic health or vascular disease is not your selling point. It's true, but it's not your selling point. With my dad, it was, do you want to eat that Tootsie Roll, or how's that hamburger taste? Or do you want to be able to sleep tonight? Or don't you want to be around other people to play cards and they want to be with you, to make it more personal? So I think the approach is very individual, and it's very, very important. As a caregiver, it's also important on how you approach a patient. Just like you were saying, Carol, if somebody hasn't been to the dentist, visually go back to what those back teeth may look like. Would you want someone to take an electric toothbrush and go on your back teeth and really irritate your gums? You wouldn't. So the learning how to approach these situations is really, really key. One of the other things that Jennifer talked about, using other people. When you think of oral health, you think of a dentist. Don't think of the dentist as your oral healthcare team members only. Your physician, when they give you antibiotics, should be talking to you about, you know, the drugs. Your power as a patient, whether you're 10 years old or 90 years old, ask the questions. What does this do in my mouth? Does it dry it out? What do I do? It causes taste disturbances, which most drugs do. Then they reach for salt and sugar. So, you know, ask your pharmacist, which is a wealth of knowledge. So there's lots of ways, but be proactive, be your own advocate is key.
I think the Tootsie Roll is a powerful motivator. I hadn't thought yes. about that, but I think that probably would work for a lot of older people, especially where I do know as we age, the sense of taste can dull. And if you've got something else on top of that, you would crave salt and sugar, which can impact high blood pressure and diabetes. Let's talk about Motivate and the information that's on the website. And how does someone find a dentist? It's all well and good to talk about getting those teeth cleaned. How does someone do that? Because a lot of people are not taking new patients, or the person's on main care. So Denise, help me with that.
Of course. Yeah, it is a challenge. I will start, though, with something positive, which is a couple of years ago, Maine began its first ever comprehensive adult dental benefit through the Maine Medicaid program. That said, a person needs to find someone who has openings and accepts that insurance. And we're now hoping at some point that Medicare will cover this too. But, you know, people can go to a federally qualified rural health center, community health center. They have sliding fee scales, but also accept Medicaid. That is a place a person can go. And we actually have a flyer on the Motivated Home website, oralhealthwisdom.com. There's a whole flyer with clickable links on where you can get care. And one is to all of the health centers in Maine. There are a handful of nonprofit dental centers that accept folks, as well as private dentists. And now we have a flyer because Maine allows dental hygienists to practice independently. And we have a flyer on our website that includes all of those in the state and those that accept Maine care. So a person could go there and get their teeth cleaned and get an exam. Some people are having really good experiences by going to the UNE Dental Medicine School, the UNE Dental Hygiene School, and the University of Maine at Augusta Bangor Campus Dental Hygiene School, and getting reduced rate cleanings there. It does take longer. And as you mentioned to us, you know, calling around and finding dentists and hygienists who are comfortable with and enjoy working with older adults. I did that for my aunt, and, you know, a couple of phone calls later, and we found people that were really open and willing to provide care in a different way. And by that, I mean a shorter appointment, explaining everything and really adapting the care. But all of that information's on the website. Another thing that we have on the website for the care partner are videos, and one in particular is how to provide care or support the care to a person that is resistant to care. And there's a whole video on that with tips and approaches. But I think our message is that it's not too late. Brushing and flossing does save lives. and learning how to do it properly is important. And I just wanted to tag on to something that you said about people feeling uncomfortable about going. We have two, maybe three new videos coming soon to that website, oralhealthwisdom.com, that talk about real stories of people with lived experience and how trauma affects their willingness or not to seek dental care. And it will be helpful to people with lived experience to watch, but also healthcare professionals to learn how to better prepare and care for folks that are frightful and fearful based on past trauma.
That would be very helpful. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk more about this and what people can actually do in their homes and their caregivers can do to get those teeth clean. Stay with us. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Such an amazing conversation. So let's get those teeth cleaned. Dr. Brennan, electric toothbrush, do you recommend those? They're pretty inexpensive now on Amazon. Or a regular toothbrush, rinses, gum. Briefly, how do we get those teeth cleaned for people who maybe aren't doing as good a job as they could be?
Great. Electric toothbrushes are great. I want to go back, and one really important thing that we just talked about was, if you can't go to the dentist, what do you do? We go to the dentist once a year. You brush every day. So what you do is, if you want good dental care, don't rely on the dentist. Brush every day, brush three times a day. That will give you, if you brush once a year, it's not going to do it for you. So going back to what do? And the other thing you want to do, put your name on a waiting list. Because the other complaint that I get from patients, how can I wait 6 months? Well, 6 months happens very fast. So those are the two things I would say about that. In terms of dental tools, older patients that have never used an electric toothbrush, and if there's any cognitive issues, dementia, it's very hard and it's scary to have something vibrating in the mouth if they don't know what it is. So you want to be conscious of that. If someone has had an electric toothbrush, it is magic because it does thousands and thousands of strokes in the same time that you can brush. So it works. So flossing, really important. It's hard for a caregiver sometimes to do it. If you can do it, it's great. But sometimes you have to pick your fights where it's difficult to do all of those things. So you want to maybe brush, if you can floss, great, and rinse. Patients that have struggled to keep their mouths open, if they have arthritis, have had a stroke, your goal is going to be different maybe than brushing somebody who's healthy. Just do the upper side of the mouth. The next day, do the lower side. And so that every 4 days, you get a good cleaning. Because going back to what we described in terms of germs, the goal is to get rid of the germs, and that gets rid of the germs. So lots of tools. Some are made specifically for handicapped people.
That is great information. I myself have an electric toothbrush and would be lost without it. Denise, we are just about out of time. I've got a couple of minutes for you and Jen, so let's bring us home. Any final thoughts on what you want to have a burning desire to tell my listeners?
Sure. Thanks again, Carol. I want to do a shout out to a couple of organizations. One is the CareQuest Institute for Oral Health. They funded this program and have been such strong supporters of the work. We also have been trying to consider, you know, where are older adults, where are caregivers? And so we have some wonderful relationships that we've established with several organizations, Age Friendly Wyndham, the University of Maine Center on Aging Senior Companion Program, the Atrium at the Cedars, also Westbrook Housing and Spectrum Generations. And so we are setting up corners, if you will, with a computer already set up so a caregiver or an older adult could come in and learn. So that's there. And then also for people who like podcasts, we started a live component of the Motivated Home Program, which is four times a year where you get to speak to someone like Dr. Brennan for 30 minutes, learn something, and then ask any questions that you want. And those are now on most podcast platforms called Ask the Dental Expert. But you can access all of this at oralhealthwisdom.com, and it's all free.
oralhealthwisdom.com. That is great information. Dr. Brennan, Jen Crittenden, Denise O'Connell, thank you so much for all of this information. And remember, if you want to hear this show again, you can hear it at WVOMFM.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.